Now, you have to ask if the original archaeological team and the vast majority of archaeologists and epigraphers first say, this tomb has nothing to do with Jesus or Mary Magdalene or anyone else. What is the engine driving the train of this theory? That's what you have to ask. Well, I want to re-examine some of the evidence just briefly. First, we're going to deal with the Mary Magdalene ossuary. In case you're unfamiliar with the theory altogether, the theory is that this is the tomb of Jesus and his wife, Mrs. Jesus, a.k.a. Mary Magdalene, and their children and other descendants and relatives. That's the theory. Okay? So here is the inscription on the so-called Mary Magdalene ossuary. If you are able to read Greek, and this one is in Greek, not Hebrew or Aramaic, it reads, Mariam Chimera. That's what it reads. Next slide. And I'll prove it to you in a minute. So, the scrawl of this inscription is difficult to read, but it's far clearer than the one on the so-called Jesus ossuary. It seems to read, Mariam Chimera. That is, it is referring to either two people, Mary and Martha or Marta, or it's referring to a woman who had both the name Mariam and also the name Marta. One would be a proper name and perhaps the other a nickname. Next slide. Now, the documentary folks and James Tabor claim it reads Mariamne, the master, and they link this to later Gnostic texts where they think that Mary Magdalene was called by this name. Now, this has been repudiated by every epigrapher I know, including various of the ones present at that Jerusalem conference last month. In any case, Mary Magdalene is not called Mariamne in the New Testament anywhere or in Christian literature of the 1st, 2nd, or 3rd centuries A.D. Rather, what we have in this ossuary is not a Mary Magdalene ossuary, but an ossuary referring probably to two women, Mary and Martha, possibly sisters. It was not uncommon to bury sisters, especially if they died at a young age, together. These were exceedingly common names. Would be like Joe and Susan in English. Next slide. Now, this is the Mary Magdalene ossuary. You can see it's a decorated ossuary, far more than the Jesus one, which raises strange questions about why would Mary Magdalene, if that was her ossuary, be far better quality than Jesus's in this tomb. Next slide. Now, the picture just displayed is of the so-called Mary Magdalene ossuary. Did you notice in the film clip at the beginning of the lecture that when Jesus and Mary Magdalene had that encounter on Easter morning, Mary Magdalene did not say, "Honey, I'm glad you're back. Let's jumpstart our marriage by reading a Dobson book." No, she didn't call him honey. She called him what? Rabuni. That is my teacher. That's Aramaic for my master or my teacher. The relationship between Mary Magdalene and Jesus was not that of husband and wife. It was of teacher and disciple. That was the relationship they had. Some who have espoused this theory have even gone so far as to suggest that John chapter 2 is the story of Jesus' wedding. Who knew? The wedding feast at Cana was Jesus' wedding. Now, let me just list a few problems with this theory. If it was Jesus' wedding, a family wedding of Jesus, when Mary, the mother, says to Jesus, the son, "Nudge, nudge, they have no wine," Jesus does not respond, "I'll serve no wine before it's time." No, he says, "Woman, what is that to do with me and thee?" Now, if it was either a family wedding of one of his relatives, much less his own wedding, would he have had to be concerned about the hospitality? Of course he would. This is so not Jesus' wedding. But the clearest proof that John 2 is not a story about Jesus' wedding is because it says at the end of the story in John 2, "And Jesus went down to Capernaum with Mary his mother, his brothers, and his disciples." One thing we know about a Jewish wedding, after a Jewish wedding, the groom does not go home with mama, okay? Are you with me now? Okay, very good. So we have exactly zero evidence that Jesus was married at all, never mind married to Mary Magdalene. What is especially of note about the Mary Magdalene ossuary, as I said, is it's of much higher quality than the so-called Jesus ossuary. Next slide. Now, here is a blow-up of the inscription on the Jesus ossuary. And honestly, if you look at the right-hand side, you don't need to know a word of Hebrew or Aramaic to see that that is basically an indecipherable scroll. The only word in that whole inscription that is reasonably clear, even to the epigraphers who are the experts in these ancient scripts, is probably the word Yosef at the end of the inscription. This could be Sam, son of Joseph. This could be Ralph, son of Joseph. It could be Hanin, son of Joseph. There's no reason to jump to the conclusion it's Jesus, son of Joseph. Here's another little problem for the Tabor-Talpiot tomb theory. Jesus was not called son of Joseph by anybody who knew him in the Gospels. Why not? Because Jesus was not the son of Joseph. Remember? Even in his hometown, when he preaches in his hometown synagogue, what does Mark 6 say? Is this not the son of Mary, not Joseph? So why in the world would Jesus be interred by his own relatives under the moniker Jesus, son of Joseph? Next slide. Now, this is a Totag inscription on the very end of the box. It's not an honorific inscription. If somebody was giving Jesus honorable burial, we would expect an honorific inscription. We don't have that with this inscription. And here's another strange thing. The Mary Magdalene inscription that we talked about first was in what language? It was in Greek. The inscription on Jesus' ossuary, so-called Jesus' ossuary, is in Aramaic. And there are other ossuaries in this tomb that are in Hebrew. There's one, a Matthew ossuary, which is in Hebrew. Now, what this is a multi-generation tomb. That's what it is. And certainly not one that belongs to the family of Jesus. Next slide. In other words, neither the so-called Mary Magdalene ossuary nor the so-called Jesus ossuary present us either with clear or compelling or convincing evidence that they ever had any kind of connection with the family of Jesus. Now, here's another thing. I know for a fact that the James ossuary came from Silwan, not Talpiot. Why do I know that? Because in the James ossuary, the dirt that was found was Silwan soil, a very particular kind of soil at the far end of the temple, at the far end of the Mount of Olives, where this ossuary was found in the ground. This is not the kind of soil that you find in East Talpiot. James was martyred in AD 62, and he was buried within sight of the Temple Mount. How do we know this? Eusebius says so, and says it became a pilgrimage spot for Christians. Next slide.